Open your Bibles this morning to Psalms 43. Psalms 43. I'll be reading the five verses of Psalms 43. Psalms 43 is believed to be connected to Psalms 42. There's a lot of similarities. There's some similar statements, some exact same wording that exists between these two Psalms. It's attributed most of the time to King David. We know David went through a lot of difficult circumstances. We know there was a time when he was fleeing for his life from King Saul. We know that also that a little later in his kingship that he was dispelled from Jerusalem when Absalom was after his life. And so there were several times in David's life that he had great trouble. This psalm deals with despair, it deals with discouragement, it deals with depression, it deals with trouble, and how to deal with those situations when they arise in our lives. So I want to read from the 43rd Psalm and entitle the message that when you are cast down, when your soul is cast down, look up. Look up. Verse 1. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust men. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to the holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. This great psalm gives us great encouragement in times of difficulty. All of us have had experiences of difficulty, times of despondency. There are times when we look upon our circumstance and our situation and we ask the question, why is there this turmoil? Why is there this disquieting? The word disquieting in the last verse has reference to this screaming or screeching going on in my soul. Why is there trouble? I equate it to like fingernails on a chalkboard. Have you ever felt that on the inside? This screaming and this disquieting going on deep inside of your soul. These feelings that we have from time to time. Now, the book of Psalm deals with, more specifically, with the emotions of men. And it tells us about these emotions that we might have and experience and how to deal with them. How that we need to deal with them spiritually. How that we need to deal with them divinely, how that we need to look to God for help concerning the emotional aspects of our lives. And of course, the book of Psalms is filled with a variety of emotions that we experience through a variety of circumstances that we go through. The psalmist in this psalm was experiencing great difficulty. He was in trouble. He was in some kind of despair. And he felt like, according to verse 1, that he was being dealt with unfairly. Have you ever felt like that you were being dealt with unfairly? Has there ever been a circumstance or situation where you felt like that you were being dealt with wrongly? All of us through adolescence and even in our adult life have gone through periods of time like that. And he speaks to God concerning this dark place. He was wondering why God didn't show up and avenge him. He asked him in verse 1, God, why don't you judge me? Why don't you avenge me? Why don't you be my advocate in these situations? Why are the enemies of my life getting the upper hand? That was his concern and that was his question. And as he began to ponder these things and why he felt this way, he was praying. He was praying. He was asking God. Now in this psalm, he speaks to God and he speaks to his own soul. And there's two things that you see that you need to do when you go through great discouragement or great trouble of life. First of all, you need to speak to God. And then you need to honestly and spiritually speak to your own soul, to that disquieting and that trouble that might be going on in your soul. And so this spiritual depression, a lot of preachers down through the years have looked to this psalm to deal with depression. Whether it was a psychological depression that a person is going through or spiritual depression that we might go through personally or collectively as a people. Israel on several occasions went through times of great spiritual depression. And each time that they went through this period of spiritual depression, they turned to other things than God to appease them spiritually and religiously. Most of the idolatry that flooded Israel was a result of spiritual depression. And it's sad. We live in a time of great spiritual depression in our society and in many churches. We see that prevailing in people's lives, whether it be individually or collectively. And immediately it seems that people begin to turn to idolatry to soothe those spiritual needs. And those needs cannot be satisfied by the world. They cannot be satisfied by idols or idolatry. There are needs that each one of us have deep inside that only can be satisfied by God. And so is the psalmist. You know, he's a strong man. David was a strong man. And as I examined these passages of Scripture and I thought about where we are as a church and where we are as a society and where our nation is, and when I started contemplating where a lot of people are that I am friends with and acquainted with, and what they start doing when they feel the absence of God's favor from their life. When they begin to feel the absence of God's favor from their life, that internal turmoil that they go through sometimes causes them to react in a very negative way. A way that brings great, great sin into their lives. I know you go through things like I go through, and you feel like that the world's not treating you right, and it doesn't seem like things are fair, and you want God to show up. And sometimes we take the attitude like the sons of thunder. You know, those two very zealous disciples of Jesus Christ, and when the city rejected Christ, asked Jesus, "Do you want us to pray that God would rain fire down and destroy that city?" We like to see some people burn up sometimes. Oh, come on, be honest. I mean, they're treating us wrong, and we want this thing made right. We just want God to send the fire. The psalmist felt like that he was being injured by the enemy. Now, the greatest enemy we have is not necessarily the people of the world, but the greatest enemy of mankind has always been the devil himself. Satan opposes us. He tries to destroy us. He is the father of lies. He has always been the enemy of mankind and the enemy of God's people. And he's trying to get us to trust in other things other than God. And in the attempts to get through our troubles, many times we put a lot of confidence in ourselves. Now, as I was reading these verses, I thought to myself that perhaps he felt like that he felt like he could handle it. Do you ever feel like you can handle the enemy? Huh? Do you really think that in the energy of the flesh you can overcome the evil one? Huh? Sometimes we think we can handle the circumstances of our lives by ourselves. But the psalmist reached this realization that he could not do that, but rather he needed the help of God. And we need to get to that same place in our lives. We need the help of God. And he starts to speak to himself. And perhaps as he got to this dark place, he got there because he was trying to handle things on his own. Oh, come on, folks. We try to do that, don't we? Handle things on our own. He got in a very dark place, but getting there, he finally realized there is a bright side to this dark place. He's a child of God. And perhaps some of his despondency, some of his depression, some of his bewilderness stemmed from knowing that he was a child of God. And he wondered where God was in all of this. I assure you, God never leaves his children. Okay? We may feel like it from time to time, but we have the promise that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen? He's with us, and he'll be with us all the way to the end. And he asked the question, and this is this question, this last verse, and that's not my main verse really, but this last verse is also found in the previous psalm. It's found in Psalms 42 and 5, and it's also found in 42:11. And this is the third time. That's one of the reasons they feel that these two psalms are connected. When he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" And coming to this realization, he suddenly brightens up and says, listen, you need to wait, you need to trust, you need to hope in God. God has not forsaken you, and he will take care of the circumstance that you're in. Now, all of us have a diseased nervous system. If you grasp this, it'll really help you. All of us have a depraved, diseased nervous system. Have you ever gotten angry? Where'd that come from, huh? This diseased nervous system where we're prone to look upon the dark side of things. Sometimes we like wallowing, okay, come on now, in this feeling of being, you know, mistreated. Sometimes we like being unhappy. Sometimes people capitalize upon this feeling of unhappiness so they can do the wrong thing. I'm preaching here. Okay? This gives them an out or an excuse to make huge mistakes. This discouragement, this melancholy. They feel like they've been wrong or dejected in some way. Listen, folks, this kind of gloom is not a virtue. Christians should always look on the bright side. We have God. We have God. The God of the impossible. The God that is able to alter and change any circumstance that we find ourselves in. I mean, he took a young boy, Rudy boy, as it's mentioned in Scripture, that was caring for sheep and turned him into a great king. He took a farmer by the name of Gideon and made of him a great warrior, brought great victory with this young boy that was farming. Listen, God is able to take and change our circumstances because God is the God of the impossible. Why should I be cast down? Look what God has done in the past and what he can do in the future. God can change whatever circumstance or situation that you find yourself in. If you're sick, God can heal you. If you're cast down, God can raise you up. If things are falling apart in your life, God can put them all back together. Amen? He is Jehovah God, the creator of heavens and the earth. There's nothing our God cannot do. And so we need to, man, we need to think about who we're dealing with. He is our God. We are His children. He has saved us and redeemed us. He brought us up out of the horrible pit of sin. And He put our feet on a solid rock. And He established our goings. And our lives are founded upon Him. And though the wind might blow, and it does, and the storm might come, and it will, our house or our life, it will stand, because there's no greater foundation's been laid than what was laid by Christ Jesus. And we're on the rock of salvation. Amen. Yeah, we're built on the rock. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, if you will build your life on Me and upon My words, when the storms of life come, your life will endure. Your world will stand. All right, so He tells us that we have this glorious privilege of turning to God. Whatever our circumstance might be in, whatever circumstance we're in, whatever place we might be in, we know that God, the God that saved us, the God that delivered us, the God that made us one of His children, can bring us through it. There's always light at the end of the tunnel for the believer. Come on, folks. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what's the very worst thing can happen to you? What is the very worst thing that can happen to you as a believer? Well, you could die. But to be absent from the body is to be what? I mean, you know, actually it gets better for us when we die. I know we've got this innate desire to, you know, endure this life, but I'm telling you, it's better on the other side. We have a heaven to gain. Amen? Yes! There's glory awaiting us on the other side. We've got to work here, and we've got to endure this life. And there's a lot of dark places, and sometimes we take a walk on the dark side in our emotion and in our conscience and in our souls, but we can always look on the bright side. No matter what kind of trouble you're in, there's tangible help. Amen? And God is just a prayer away. Just a prayer away. You know, I understand God showing up immediately when you call on Him. Don't you? I understand what the Bible says, that He's a very present help in time of trouble. In our times of great desperation, there is a realization that God is with us. All right, I want to look at a verse or two out of this psalm that I want to call your attention to, especially verse 3, where He says, I need You to send the light, God. I need You to reveal the truth. Now, as a Baptist, as a missionary Baptist, there's been times in my life where I've been discouraged. I know we have the truth, but it seems like people can't see it. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm a defender of the truth. I believe the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. I believe that Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that His kingdom is a kingdom of truth. But people are just not willing to come and be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And it's discouraging sometimes. It's discouraging. I know I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I get that. But I don't believe you need to be brilliant to share the truth. I've learned through the years that it may be not packaged exactly, you know, in some kind of magnificent brilliance. I tell you, I know this much. Magnificent, brilliant presentation of error won't save anybody. But even a poor job of presenting the truth will save the world. Amen? Because it is the truth that sets us free. Yeah. Truth. Unadulterated truth of the gospel sets people free. When we believe the gospel of truth, we get salvation. People have to believe the truth of the gospel to be saved. Anyway, that was it. But the light, oh God, send the light. Bring people to a greater understanding and realization. Give them an understanding, give them a realization. When we're in desperation, we need a greater understanding of where we really are. Are you glad that you've been exposed to the truth? Don't you feel blessed to be raised in the truth? A few years back, I was among some young brethren, and they were getting in the flesh, and they were talking about this man, and you know, he had a little bit of a stutter and in his preaching, and they were making fun of him. I was beyond, they were making fun of him. And I looked at all these young ministers and I said, well, how many people have you seen saved in your ministry? How many people have you baptized in your ministry? Let's just go around the room. And I said, you know that man over there that you're making fun of? He's seen hundreds saved. He has baptized hundreds of people. Where's the anointing and the blessings of God upon your ministry? Folks, listen, when we try to do these things in the energy of the flesh, we will fail. Oh, but if God would send the light and the truth and the anointing and His power, we'll see great success in the work of God. Because it's not by might and not by power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Yeah, by His Spirit, saith the Lord. God is the one that created the light. That was the first words that were ever said. Let there be light. And there was light. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. I'm not sure. Maybe the psalmist was saying, send the true light. We know that Jesus Christ is the true light. He's the light of the world. We know that He is the truth that people need to hear. We need the light and the truth that's found in Jesus Christ to be manifested among us in a great way. But listen to me, okay? It needs to be sent from God. It has to come down from God. You know, I'd love to stir up the truth and stir up light, but it don't work that way. It's like when we're in these down points or down places in church or in our lives, we need God to send the light. He needs to reveal these things. He needs to be the manifestation of truth. Amen. The glory needs to be His and not ours. Amen. His and not ours. I've had this same conversation with myself here recently that the psalmist had in Psalms 43. I've been down and discouraged at times. Oh, come on, you have been too. And maybe I'm like, you know, maybe I come to the realization like the psalmist. Maybe I'm just trying too hard in the energy of the flesh. Maybe I'm trying to do it. Maybe we can reach that same realization like he did. Say, I need God to send something down. I need God to send the revelation and the truth, oh, that I might have that joy. oh man, that I might have the joy of going to church, that I might sing on that harp and glorify God like I once did. And go to thy tabernacle and go to your altar. When's the last time you've been to the altar of God? See, with that revelation comes an honesty with ourselves and a realization that we need to take some action. Everybody say action. You need to get some things right. Go to the altar. And I might go to your altar. Have that joy re-energized in my heart and in my life. Well, I've had some despondency and at times. And have you ever noticed during those periods you have great exaggeration? You make things in your mind and heart a lot worse than what it really is. You blow things way out of proportion because of your feelings. You know, I tell young couples all the time that, you know, when couples get to arguing, what they'll do is they'll start exaggerating things, you know, to try to get what they feel out on the table where the other person experiences what the other partner feels. Sometimes we get to exaggerating things and thinking that things are a lot worse than what they really are. Oh God, send thy light and thy truth. Send thy light and thy truth. Lead me. Okay? See, we are led by the Spirit of God. We are led by the revelation of God. We are led by the truth of God. Lead me by thy truth and by thy Spirit, the things that you have revealed, and let them bring me back to that holy place that I once had in my heart and life. Well, God doesn't want us to stay there in that difficult place, in that place of darkness. There's a bright side. There's downcast times in our life, but all we've got to do is look up and ask God to send a change. Huh? A divine change, a righteous change, the change towards spiritual things and divine things. I appreciate your attention this morning. Oh, that God would just send the light, that He would send the truth. He did when He sent Jesus. And yet we go back through these periods of despondency as His people. But He's coming a second time. Amen. And things will be brought into the light. Truth will be revealed. Righteousness shall reign on the earth. Justice shall prevail here. Amen. Yeah. He's coming. And there are periods of time in the church where that we get down and you're discouraged and it seems like the world is getting the upper hand and sin is just rampant and wickedness is rampant and you just want the Lord to come back. Hey, you know what I'm talking about? They'll see one day who's on the Lord's side. Huh? Yeah. They'll see what church is the right church. They'll see who was right and who was wrong when the Lord comes. Because there's a great day of judgment coming. And He's going to make things known. And the truth will be revealed. I appreciate your attention. Stand to your feet. We're going to have a song. Jesus said, people that are lost and in sin, they're in a dark place. They're in a very dark place. He said in John chapter 3, the reason people don't come to the light is because their deeds are evil. Their deeds are evil. And the only one that can bring you out of the darkness into His marvelous light is Jesus Christ. I encourage you to come to know the Lord. There are dark days that we all go through. Sometimes people think that once they become a Christian, they'll never have another dark day. That is a lie. That's a lie. The truth is, we too, as Christians, have dark days. But there's always light available to us. And when we're down, we just need to look up. And every time we look up as Christians, He's always, or I say always, always there. Amen? He's always there. We're not alone. But those of you that have never been saved, the only way to get out of the darkness of sin is to come to the light of Jesus Christ. And your sins will be manifested. They'll be made known to you. And if you'll turn from them and repent of them and put faith in Jesus Christ, you can be changed and transformed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son today as we sing. Is there somebody here who needs to come out of the darkness into God's marvelous light?